What I actually thought about doing was thinking about.
There is an agenda.
Yeah, well, there isn't. Yeah, but it's not a written agenda. It's more of a hey, let's engage God agenda. I mean, from the perspective of all the mountains and the whole blueprint, it's like, what actually do we want to see? If we can, like, okay, here. I mean, remember I talked about creating our own reality by choosing it. What would you choose? So what would you choose if you had, hey, here's the reality I want to create for this mountain, this whole blueprint. What do we actually want to see? Because if we can't actually say that, then we're unlikely to actually see much. Because we'll be sort of going by reaction to situations and circumstances, where I think government is about planning and calling things into being and using the laws and legislation that we've got to create things. So, in that sense, it'd be, okay, what's coming out of your own creative heart, but also what's coming out of what, when we engage God? You know, what actually would God be inspiring, connected to our creative heart, because we're sons, we're part of this process, it's not fixed and rigid as fate. We got part to play in it, and we can call things into being out of our own creativity as sons. What would that look like from the mountains that we got here tonight? Obviously, can't look at the rest of them, but sense of the mountains we got here tonight, and in terms of the overall blueprint that we're all part of, what would that look like? Yeah, how would we frame that to bring it into being? So I think that's what I would encourage us to think about, and let's just spend some time engaging with God, looking from His perspective. You know, whether we stand in the four faces, looking at the face of the lion or the ox, the eagle or the man, what do we see? What's our heart stirring? Because I think we're to be responsible, we have to then begin to see how do we frame that then? What do we need to do to call that into being, to begin to release that, to assign the angels to do whatever that might be? And I think, you know, don't look at it from a, well, what's realistic, what could we manage, but actually what do we actually want to believe for, you know, so that we begin to expand our own limits and boundaries, because God hadn't got any, you know. Nothing's impossible with Him, so let's let Him maybe just expand our perceptions a little bit in terms of what we would actually like to see short, medium, long term, in terms of what God's wanting to do. Does that sound okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okie dokie. Okay, so what, anyone want to share any of the stuff that they felt, saw, were stirred by?
Okay, good start. I saw all the benches and the sub-mountain benches filled. All people here that we need. I saw all our spheres of influence increase, getting wider and wider and wider. I saw our arts and creativity mountain really exploding, bringing in lots and lots of people through art and creativity, whatever. Enough finances to have whatever it needs for live streaming, reaching one nation after the other, books, audio, video material going worldwide. Mike writing his three books, and I saw us maturing, building teams, starting to teach in the UK and in Europe. Us needing a much bigger building soon, because we totally outgrow this one. Us coming into this supernatural, in terms of, this is media again, in terms of translation and all kinds of things, because right now we are totally limited, having to say, no, we cannot take any more translations because we don't have enough people to edit it or whatever. So, supernatural things, how the God does it, how God will do it, I don't know. This is it for us. And then I started to see the health and Harmony Mountain, but this is not really my thing, but really doing lots of things together in terms of frequencies and whatever, reaching the New Age community and so on. This is basically what I saw.
Awesome. Excellent. Oh, it looks like we're going around this way.
Oh, I thought it was ladies first. Well, didn't really, I didn't find it difficult to put words around it, but I tried.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to that, but in a slightly different, I basically had a purple cloud that cleared, actually got burnt away, and as it burnt away, I could see sort of Devon, big landscape. And as it cleared away, it went from being this kind of all through this veiled, foggy, purple thing to little bursts of colour that gradually grew, and the whole thing started to light up in colour. And the words, I couldn't get words to describe what that felt like, but it's obviously, So I kept asking for how could I relay to you guys what that spiritually meant. Not being so great with words, but I got lots of bits and bobs. I ended up with, it's basically opening the door for the relationship for everyone with God, and for them to realise what's real and what isn't real. It's that taking away that veil in their lives, whatever it might be. So first I got a picture of the contentment of the tribes when they knew they were right with God and doing what God had got them to do out on the plains. And they were all happy in their purpose, and it didn't matter what their purpose was, because their purpose was that that had been given to them by God. So there wasn't any of this. So they were able to love God and love their neighbour, regardless of what their neighbour did, within the context of that fellowship. So then I got a picture of a very content village. Actually, I got a picture of a lake first, but it was and the sun had set, and there were huts, and they were all content around the lake. By still waters, the sun had gone down and the heat of the night was there, and they were quite content in holding that, and it was about that, sharing that, the relationship. Doesn't matter what the mechanic is, because then it becomes whatever the touch point is, but that's the end piece in God and love. And that's actually the thing that's sharing. Doesn't matter whether you're, how you, because it's demonstrating it without, demonstrating it rather than words and telling people and that. Because I started, at one point I had a bonsai tree, which wasn't being what it should be because it had been twisted and put with wires around it and made to look a man's idea of what a tree should be, but actually it was a tortured tree. So, like I said, it was there was no stuff, but the vibe was this thing about actually getting ourselves into that place so that we can bleed into the environment. Basically, so God can bleed out through it, and it is that. And then I just had lots of stuff about, which it probably isn't for this forum, but my own journey is stuff about. I spent a long time people saying you've got low EQ, I've got high IQ and low EQ, which means I don't emotionally connect with people very well. But actually what I've come to realise is that means I'm not a very good liar. And emotional EQ seems to mean that you can play a room or play people emotionally, because I'm too stupid or clever to lie, if that makes any sense. They say the Germans are too efficient to lie, and the English are too polite not to. Which is kind of a nice way of putting it. And then I had some stuff about the monkey that takes the fish out of the pond and says, please let me help you, or else you'll drown, and puts the fish in the tree. Because it doesn't understand fish, and what a fish needs, and fishness. Yeah. So, little bits and pieces like that, which are just reminders of that, appreciating the differences, because they all make the whole of creation, and that noise that one makes is actually part of the symphony that is the whole thing. And when we're needlessly resonating with God, then that is what bleeds out of us, shares into the world around us. That's God, kind of, because we're not in the way going, I need something. So it's a kind of no lack attitude, because God plus nothing is great and everything else. Mm. So, I thought it was difficult. I don't think I fully got, but that's as near as I can get, guys.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm good.
Okay. We're going this way.
All right, and well, I would like a storehouse of infinite resources.
Yeah.
That is more, I was thinking it's more about felt needs, really, giving away stuff that people just can't afford, or they just can't have, or they just, there's no way they could get anything. Or just put hotels, houses, cars, money, arms, legs, livers, organs. Bank, be a bank, and then I thought, okay, alright, so somewhere people could stay if they needed ministry, places where people could go, or we could provide them with jobs, just blessed to be a blessing, that type of thing, really. So, I don't know, that's what I would like.
So you think that comes out of your own, that's your sort of creative inspiration from who you are, from the mountain, because you're part of that mountain, yeah.
Yeah, that's the first thing I heard, a storehouse, yeah. And I didn't have any visions or colours, actually. Just that, just writing.
Okay, awesome. We know you've got lots of stuff, Mark, because you ran out of ink.
I ran out of ink.
Things about media kind of often have this bigger vision about a huge sound stage and this year's ultimately, and also about, I suppose more recently, thinking about how can we improve the media capabilities in this building. And I felt just got to show me saying, well, you're kind of like missing the point. Is that how are you going to get the message to the people out there? And just suddenly this screen and see suddenly appear, and there's this amphitheatre, and it's like, oh, Freedom Cinema. I thought, oh, that's almost like an in-between thing. It's almost like you're focusing on the internal and looking and the distance of this, the ultimate, rather than focusing on. So I thought, well, you're never going to get like Scott Cinemas, but you can, if you have your own in-house place where you produce your own things, your own produce what we're trying to say, the message that we're trying to bring, and you can pull in resources from people. It's like there's we have resource of some people who just wanting something to do.
Mm.
And it's almost like, well, we can give them something to do. We can engage people who want that sort of thing, because there's so much opportunities, especially when you used to open the door of filming, because it's huge. That was just the gist of it.
Okay, awesome. Excellent.
I want the same theme, yes.
Yeah.
Musical theme, obviously. So, the music studio, obviously, I think we need one. I think it's happy. Recording studio. My new track is I'm thinking a lot about peace recently, but my new track will be peace.
Awesome.
Then it gets around to it. We've always talked about this from the Harmony Mountain, sound like frequency rooms. People just to be recalibrated, just to go in and get dressed up and get put back together by sounds, it's really nice. And then I was thinking about how do we do that for people who are not locally, because obviously you can't come to a physical room, can they? So maybe we could have videos, sound like therapy videos or something. And marketable sounds, like what would people pay for? I'm thinking, what would they pay for? If we wanted to make something that people would like, what can we do to, help people engage in that relationship? And what can we do as sounds wise, My glasses, downstairs. Yeah, that's a pleasure.
Awesome, great.
I was kind of thinking a lot, obviously, they're coming with their own kind of flavours of things, mm-hmm. and I was kind of thinking of like people that come here, have what I want to see about working with that, so I was kind of focusing on that quite a bit, really. And I was thinking about, as we continue having menus for people, just so many different things to be available for people to come into, that they just will be, I just saw people laughing and joyful and coming out of small rooms that have been for small groups where they could, they've just engaged whatever it was that they needed. And then I went quite harmony-ish. So I've been... a lot of colour recently. I've just been seeing lots of different colours and things like that, and sounds and frequencies and things about music and worship, but just opening it up so that people don't have any, who don't have any idea about anything but who love music, will just be drawn in because of the frequency and different things, which is quite harmonious for me. But like that being a discipleship mentoring type environment, because people will engage with God in it even if they don't know God in it. And I've been thinking a lot recently about angels, and a lot of times when you send angels out and you dispatch angels to minister to people or to move things out of the way, but actually like physically, angels physically giving people things or meeting people with things if they need them, like an actual physical manifestation of angels. For some strange reason, that's what I've been thinking about. To say, hello Sam, about this thing. And a guitar, whatever it is that you need. And in the past, God's spoken a lot about like supernatural manifestation of stuff, and you touched on it yesterday with the oil. But God has spoken a lot about that, and we've kind of, I don't know, for me, I've kind of let it go a little bit, thinking, oh yeah, but with the different focus now, but actually I'm just really refocusing on that and thinking like we need to see, want to see supernatural manifestations of things, which would be just like wowish. And obviously things like, well, culture of honour, loving people. I think we're going, as we move forward, we're going to meet people who are really diverse and not accepted anywhere, and how are we going to love those people groups, because they need...
Well, the challenge could be how they're going to love you.
Well, we need to be loved, is what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's about... That's what I'm saying. The monkey doesn't know that the fish can survive in water, but it judges it from its own reference point. It sticks it in the tree.
There are people groups who don't feel that they fit anywhere.
Yes,
and
I know.
We need to be people who
are
so full of love.
Yes.
That they've just...
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Fish.
I'm just trying to say, don't be the monkey or the fish. Be God in the relationship.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, we may need to provide for trees and pools.
Pardon?
We may need, therefore, to create trees and pools.
Yeah, exactly. Or they, or that may be why
they come. Yeah.
It's because actually you need to unbind them for them to bring what they bring. Mm.
Definitely.
Recognise what they bring, which then may deliver what you need.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So culture of honour is something that I was really thinking needs to be more than just words.
Yes.
Because people need to see culture of honour in operation, in its fullness.
Mm.
So that all, when we say God loves everyone, we really mean that.
Yes.
From the deepest parts of us. Because I think we're going to be challenging our precepts of things that may come our way. So it's really about love, salvation, transformation, identity, hope, you know, all those good newsy bits. But seeing those, it was quite exciting because they were here. That's it.
Excellent.
Oh, sorry, I was just...
Awesome.
Awesome.
I was just thinking it's getting to be my turn, so I was just thinking about it.
You should be ticking them off, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was sort of thinking from the sort of whole thing of freedom. I suppose two things sort of come out of this is freedom, the restoration of health and creation. A lot of things that go with that. trauma clinics, surgeries, holistic, light busters, cord busters, mental illness breakthroughs, and supernatural things in that. And then on the other side of that, there is a freedom to create. Creativity, new ideas, new materials.
Yes.
Then it went through the whole thing, shops, businesses, art, music, coffee, food shops, barbers, airport.
Freedom flying.
Buses, builders, bank. That's what really I had. And then I saw a sort of whole thing of incubation. I saw eggs, and then I saw little chicks hatch, and then I saw the development. I think it was the whole road of transformation into sonship. Taking people from that on that journey. Yeah, so that was I think that's most of what I got. I just felt that that's sort of the two angles that I felt like almost the whole thing of restoration, freedom in that, and the creativity and
Right, very good. I'm sort of looking at it more of an overview of the blueprint and the different aspects of the blueprint. What I kept seeing was new. Just kept seeing every stamped on everything new. So even things that we're familiar with, a stamp on it which says it's going to be new. But also a whole lot of new things which we're not familiar with also. And initially, looked at the whole thing of, well, what is the two scrolls that we've received, one for the harvest, one for the Joshua generation. So looking at exchange, lives being exchanged, key, out of wilderness, so people released from all those religious things, so they can see, and veils removed, darkness removed, therefore we need to be light, and a whole different dimension of light than we've been up till now. Sort of arise, shine, your light has come, that people will actually be drawn to it and see it. And so also, you know, exchange from people out of Egypt. So our groups becoming clans and tribes and essentially sons. I mean, sons is again the theme of it. I've got sons written down virtually the whole thing. It's just sonship is the key for everyone to be who they are, and then we will be who God makes us to be, because everyone's free to be themselves. Just looking at the flow from where we are now, so through the housing, through the community, through the drop-in, that flow into sonship and the therapies and the things we need to help people come into that reconciliation, restoration, relationship. And I just saw essentially everybody being able to reach people. Almost like we were giving off a frequency, a light, a harmony, a love, that when we got close enough to people, people started to just feel it, you know, which I guess is similar to us being in that place of peace, rest, harmony with God ourselves. That is the most attractive thing that will reach people.
Needlessly giving God.
Yeah.
If you've got no needs yourself, the only need you have left
is
to express God with your life
to others,
as a living testimony.
Yeah.
So, and that, you know, whatever groove you're in.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, sort of a whole changing culture around our thinking about people coming to us, going and bringing, engaging people and bringing them into relationship, rather than seeing it as, well, we're going to have these meetings and we're going to have that meeting. It's actually engaging people and then helping them to discover who they are. And then for the whole Freedom Apostolic Resources thing, obviously looking for the Joshua generation to arise in all the nations that we're connected to and all the ones we're not. Embassies of heaven in all those places. You know, I remember a few years ago being taken, you know, here on a Sunday morning, just taken to every palace and every governmental building instantly all over the world at the same time, and just decreeing the rise of the Joshua generation and the harvest, you know. And I just feel that's something that's really in my heart. Then seeing the Engaging God program expanded into other languages, so other people being able to carry the same message and being able to deliver that in their own community in languages, rather than it will be just down to us trying to translate what I do. We need other people who will actually be able to inspire their own people. Also us having an intern program where people come, they're mentored, they're equipped, they're empowered, they're released, to go and take that back to their different nations and become some of those fire starters and, you know, initiators. Then, you know, I was then engaging with seeing, you know, the restoration of all things, creation itself and our sonship connection to creation's grown and being sons that creation will respond to. But also seeing, as we're restored, that actually everything becomes restored. So all our generational lines and all history that comes to us, if we begin to get restored from that, it only doesn't just affect us. Mm-hmm. It affects what's happened in the past. I don't know how that works totally yet, but I'm working on it. And then really seeing, for restoration, just new therapies linked to the health, healing, linked to engaging people here. Sort of truth therapy, light therapy, sound therapies, just different ways of reaching people in totally different ways. Just not like we've done before with words, but actually just God engaging people through sound, light, truth, all sorts of things like that. Just whole different thing of bringing people into wholeness, which is supernatural, but not in the way we've seen revivals and meetings and us blasting people on the floor, but actually people just engaging God.
I didn't mean that, by the way, by supernatural.
No, I know you meant supernatural things, which are, woo, this has got to be God things, rather than our sort of familiarity with supernatural, which we associate, I think, with revival type meetings, which I don't think is what God really is looking for. So bringing people into wholeness, the rhythm of people's lives coming back into that thing, the beat of God's heart, rather than some people are just so slow that they're dying and other people are so fast that they're completely frantic. There's a place of this rhythm of God's heart which just encapsulates people. So I saw that. Seeing the mountain of the house of the Lord, in the sense God's people raised up in the world, but actually, you know, each place that God has being raised up, including here, so that we can begin to really begin to shine. Treasure room of heaven and the discovery house of heaven, and I could see wealth, you know, not just financial, but just wealth, just total prosperity of being blessed in such a way that it's absolutely, totally obvious that there's something totally different than everything else that the world has to offer. It's just sort of like, whoa, this is just so different. Then sort of new power sources, new organics. It's not technology, but it's ways of doing things which are totally different. New mysteries unveiled for us. Then really seeing the sort of the government that which will sort of administrate all this begin to function. Therefore, as I saw, all the mountains being occupied, all the sub-mountains being occupied, kingdom being administrated, and our statute book really being used and outworked in that way. Then media, you know, I saw this like a whole global network of communications. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just how we communicate globally, locally, nationally, internationally, just a whole different network of communication that actually interprets everything through a heavenly kingdom perspective and not the way the world does. I mean, there's no communications network which is unbiased. You know, it's all coming with an angle. In a sense, and those angles are generally genderized. Then really resources for every tribe, family, and tongue. Again, sounds, frequencies, production of resources. Both using things that we have now at our disposal and you know the transmission using what we have available at the moment. So we have all sorts of different medias that we can use, whether that be streaming things, showing things, videoing things, showing them, whatever. But also getting ready for when those things are no longer available. Mm-hmm. So how are we going to communicate globally when there is no internet, when there is no necessarily the methods we got now? Mm-hmm. So thinking about that now and getting the resources of heaven available. So what I saw was actually doing spiritual transmissions. So in the same way that we would produce media, whether it be video, audio, we can actually produce the same things creatively and release them supernaturally to engage people rather than through a physical media. So I could see it in going into people's homes, going into their dreams, angels visiting them, actually visions appearing, so that they're seeing things that is a production, but not through the normal means, because that may change. So it was just seeing a whole different way of being able to reach people. And I reminded of when I was in Borneo and up on the mountain and with these Muslim people, and all of a sudden, they're taking photographs of us, and it just totally struck me that now I am going to be in their social media, in their homes, in their computers. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm going to use that to transmit blessing, favor, the love of God, revelation, truth into their homes because they've invited me, effectively. And I think it's that sort of sense of, hey, we've got different ways, creative ways, I think, that can be unveiled. That's going to be like, yeah, because essentially, if you read the sort of the evangelistic sort of missionary reports. They're giving reports of Jesus visiting people in dreams, in visions, that there are high-end Muslim guys who are getting radically saved, but are hidden, and I don't believe we're going to reach the Muslim world from without bombarding them with everything, but God is going to reach them, because we reach the people who are the Pauls, if you like, the Sauls of the Muslim world who become Pauls, who once they are in place, the whole thing will explode from the inside out. So I think there's again ways for us to begin to look at how do we encourage that, support it. God's doing it, but I'm sure he's doing it because people are involved in that process somewhere, calling for it. And I think we can also call for that, both locally here, not just with the Muslim world, but all the people groups that we've got and wider afield. And I had a whole thing that I saw, like a creative thought expression thing. Well, how we create our own reality by thinking it into being and choosing that reality and collapsing that reality so that it becomes it all starts in everything we see now came out of the unseen. That's what it says in Hebrew. So how do we then do that as well? Because if God did that, then he's given us the creative ability to do it. So it's almost like a think tank, a creative think tank who could begin to visualize and see things that have never been seen before, or new ways of doing things that have never been seen before, and then begin to formulate that and call it into being, create that reality, see that start to take place. So it was almost like a creative councils. It was like people just inspiring each other and engaging with God creatively to sort of see a whole different thing of like, if we're going to establish an embassy of heaven, we may not use bricks and mortar. Mm-hmm. We may well be able to transform matter using energy of our own conscious thinking. Why not? God did. Yep. And we're his sons. So why do we have to think, well, let's get the builder in, let's get Brick, sorry Mark, but just think how better you could do it actually with your mind. Hey, I'm going to do it from home. When you get there, it's all done, and it's going to cost you 10 times as much, but it's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be wonderful. It's like, I think it's just ways of expanding our way of thinking, doing things from a different perspective, and that sort of being able to, Jesus turned water into wine. So there's no reason why we can't turn anything into anything.
Anything to wine.
Yeah. I would have turned wine into water, of course, if it was me. But
yeah, I think for me, the challenge has been to get away from the pursuit of the thing that I perceived that needed to happen next. And also, the biggest struggle I currently have is just not to bugger off and do it myself again, as I have done for a long time. So God's been teaching me a lot about patience and other people, yeah. And blah, 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 and on it goes. But I do think there is a part, you do take part, I have witnessed things where physically I'm not there, but I am part of what is going on because I have given myself over and come into agreement with it. So whatever's being created at that moment in time, I witness it, I don't understand it, it's as vivid as you like, and it's people I've never met being healed of things I never knew existed in places I don't know where, and so on, and that's quite common. So I think I think you're right, we have to go get that in right before you get to the stuff in the world is a byproduct. And it always arrives, and you know what it's for when it arrives, because it's a byproduct of having that on your
place,
place on your heart. Definitely. As your blueprint, and you know, and you, and the things turn up, you go, right, that needs to be. Oh, I can see where that needs to go now because that's what's growing there. If that makes any sense.
As I saw it as a visionary thing, I saw it as that we were all creative 3D printers. That we could actually. Create these things from what was inside us, whether that be physical things but also spiritual things. And when I was away, I spent quite a bit of time with Praying Medic. This has got a guy who does a lot of healing stuff. He was a medic in an ambulance, prayed for hundreds of people, never saw one of them get healed but one. So it's like, but he didn't give up, you know, he just kept going, and he started to see more and more and more get healed. Now he doesn't understand how he does it, but he's available. People send him prayer requests, and literally his spirit visits them in their homes and ministers to them. And sometimes they see him, sometimes they just feel his presence. He's not even aware that he's doing it most of the time. But he's become so open for God to use him that it's gone beyond the boundaries of just, well, I'm going to lay hands on someone. He does lay hands on people and do all that stuff. But he's saying the whole spirit travel thing, which he's sort of interested in, is just, it's happening. And I think we can start thinking about it in those terms, just a totally different way of how we engage people to, yes, we can bring them into and sounds, and I think all that's part of it, but there's also other ways of doing it as well which prepare for that, you know, that we can visit people and minister to them so it opens their hearts so that they will then be open to other things as well. So I think it's just a whole different way of looking at things, rather than just the hard, here's the present situation, how do we deal with all these things? Because we've got this, we haven't got enough money for this, we haven't got this, we haven't got that,
I got a massive thing, I was trying to explain about desire and lack.
Yeah.
I was getting this massive thing about desire and lack.
Yeah.
And Trish has had like 5 years to get past some of that stuff. But and so I thought, oh, well, I haven't got that problem because I've never kind of, you know, I don't give a toss about all of it, really. But actually, I do.
Mm.
So that's the lie that, you know, and if that's the problem, is that a pillar then? But anyway, I was taught, because it's a Catholic thing, it's wrong to desire things. You shouldn't desire things. That's like wishful thinking, you know, you've got to kind of, that's not good, you shouldn't do that. You know, that
without
crap.
It, there's no creativity.
I know, but that's God's desire.
Yeah, totally.
So you can't have that sentence. Yes. And you shouldn't be doing that. That's not, you know, no, knuckle under.
Yeah,
you know, no, you choose. What you're left with then is the fear, and the fear is driven by coming into agreement that there is a lack.
Yeah.
But actually, if you're doing what God's asked you to do, well, actually, you lack nothing.
Yeah.
You are never in a position of lack, because everything that God wants you to do, you are entirely equipped to do now, because now is when God wants you to do it.
Yeah.
So it might be that you've had a glimpse of something tomorrow that you don't think you're equipped for today, and that's where you then fall into the thing of trying to backfill what you think is going to be a lack when you get there. But actually, God's not asking you about that.
Essentially, we create
now
that.
Love. Yeah, yeah.
We,
now,
with the desire that's linked to the heart of God,
then it goes.
Then we can begin to create, and we can't operate in fear. I mean, fear is just the end
yes.
of anything in terms of you know, for us to be able to do. So yes, we might look at circumstances, but we look at, we're not affected by circumstances if we're not fearful of them. If we see that we have the ability to create, to call in, and actually, yes, there are practical things that we can be inspired to do. There are strategies that God can give, which are very practical strategies, no problem with that. But I think the spiritual dimension of it, of establishing it in heaven first, is the key. So, okay, we need £50,000 for this. Well, we have to establish seeing that in the heavens and begin to creatively call it for God to release it. And that might be, you know, it could be 50,000 people give us a pound, you know, because God can do that. Or it could be one person that gives £50,000, or it could come in totally different ways, but we begin to call it in and operate creatively from that position of not fearing, that we're not in lack, but we are responsible for establishing out of desire what God's called us to do. And we're not being limited by it, you know. And that does mean a change of thinking, a change of culture, and the way in which we do things has to be done from a heavenly perspective first. Because if we haven't done it there, how can we expect it to manifest anywhere else? So I think it's getting the priorities established, not in fear, but out of desire, and knowing God's desire is to bless us, to empower us, to give us everything we need, but he's not just going to hand it to us on a plate. We are part of the thing of creating it, of calling it, of opening up the treasury rooms of heaven, of doing whatever it is that we need to do. And I think this is why it was like new. Yes, we must do things from a new perspective, you know, and look at that coming about. Because today some guy sent us £5,000.
Hey.
Just 5,000. I mean, from Wales of all places. Oh. Bless Wales.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless but man. In a sense, it was like, well, who's been calling that in? I have, for certain, because it's like I know things that we want to do with that. You know, in some of the things they've even been talking about, getting stuff that we can do therapies with, sounds, frequencies. Well, we need, you know, we can sew that back into, hey, we can then use this to do some of the things that are our dreams. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and God can inspire people to do that. I mean, we have houses because God's inspired people to bless us with them. You know, well, that was at one stage a vision that was called into being from the front of the meeting. Bill got up and said, right, this might seem crazy, but essentially we have a vision that we're going to have these houses. Now, beyond that, Becky has been calling for Nigel. They've been calling for houses for years. And then all of a sudden, okay, now is the manifestation. And we have a testimony. Because none of those houses were there other than in our dreams and visions that we started calling for. Now, actually, physically, we have them, and there will be more coming. You know, so that is the sort of, using the illustrations like that gives us, hey, this has worked. It's not sort of pie in the sky. This actually is what happened. And now we have this testimony. Let's actually start applying the same things to all the other aspects that we have, to be able to see those things creatively released, that we do have a desire that really causes us to express it, not just a wish. Well, it would be nice. There's got to be, no, this is my precious. We need this. This is ours. It belongs to us for the fulfillment of this vision. And, you know, cultivating that desire, I think we'll begin to release different things. And all the stuff we've been sharing, they're all things that aren't there now, in natural realm, but they're there already within your own vision. Everything in this room once was in someone's head. This design for this table, the head or floor, that someone designed it. And even that fly was in God's head one stage. I don't know why, but
I'm not sure.
You had a bad day. You had an off day then.
Get rid of dead things.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's like everything was once a creative idea and thought in someone's mind, and someone said, we're going to actually produce that. Now, they've done that in a natural way. In a sense, here's a vision, here's a plan, let's make this. We can do exactly the same thing in those creative things that people have shared tonight, actually start calling them. Get together with your mountains, really start to say, what do we need to do to see these things facilitated? And I'd encourage everybody to take the same process back to your individual mountain and say, what does this look like? Let's do this together and let's create this desire for God is wanting us to see fulfilled. You know, because it's got to start with that creative image. You know, and I think there's been a lot of creative images shared tonight. Which now, what do we do now? Well, we have to start beginning to release that image, whether we release it by calling it forth or whether we release it in different ways. We have to start releasing it and then, okay, God, what do you want us to do? You know, is there anything you actually want us to physically do? You know, then let's start doing it. You know, it may be, no, just keep doing this, keep preparing, keep, and then there will be a point where now do something. But, you know, essentially, you know, what Mark was saying is there are a lot of people who probably have got creative things which are not being fulfilled or released. And we've got to inspire those people to believe that they're part of the solutions to the things that God has given us as desires. You know, inspire them in ways, share and encourage, support in releasing and inspiring them to believe that they do have something which is unique and creative, because they do. You know, we need everybody released in sonship, you know, not just a couple of people. It's got to be, we're all sons, and therefore all of us have got that creative, made in the image of God, to be inspirational in seeing the kingdom established on earth as it is in heaven. I think it would be great to, you know, take it back to others and just inspire them to, you know, get involved with the same basic sort of process, and let's really begin to think. You know, we've already got lots of legislation that says, hey, we've got authority to do certain things, call people groups, release people from things that are holding them back, lots of things like that. You know, some of it is, you know, restrictions are the biggest problem that people have. They don't believe.
Well, I'd go further than that. I think it's those around them too.
Yeah.
I think basically. Mm-hmm. They come into agreement with the cage that's placed around them.
Yeah.
Others. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest problem. Yeah. So people, if you don't conform to the thing that the person next to you thinks you should fit, yeah, they can react in one of two ways. And unfortunately, if you haven't got a relationship with God, that can...
Yeah. Yeah. But I think
throw you off.
You can, yeah. And I think we have to sort of be able to help people to be free from the, any of those restrictions.
That stuff.
Yeah. What anyone else has said, what they might have said, what, you know, the world might say, but what does God say? What does God? Who does God say you are? Because that's what counts at the end of the day. If we believe that, then there isn't anything that's impossible. You know, because we are made in that image, in creativity and sonship. You know? So I think it's like just a sort of whole sort of increase in creative conscious expression of the things that God's really calling us, and let's really start to see them begin to unveil.
I think for a sense of sort of calling in, we've experienced that in the sermon recently over the last several weeks, that actually people are really engaged in that,
yeah,
call and,
yeah,
calling forth and sending out that assignment. Mm.
Yeah, and I think that's one aspect, and there's doing that from every aspect of all the things that we need to be, and then see release from that. Because, you know, we have history of God's blessing, you know, in ways which are not normal. You know, well, we wouldn't be in this building, with the building looking like it was, if it was just a, you know, how we had it in the first place. I mean, the whole thing's been transformed. Now, a lot of people put a lot of hard work into doing that, but there was also a lot of God releasing blessing and favour and people and things in the right time and favour, you know, from others that would also facilitate that. And I think we can, you know, expect more of that when we really start to focus, I think. You know, and you know, don't ever be limited. I think this is the thing. Don't have any limitations, because as soon as you put a limitation on it, it's not possible. with God there are no impossibilities, and with our creativity there are things that have never been seen before. You know, I mean, we're living in an age where things are being created all the time. Let's actually start operating in the same level of creative sense of sonship, I think. Okay, well, I think that's it. Again, it's not half an hour, but not